a bit of home for me, because I know a number of people. Of course, Steve Mitten and Dave Mitten, I've known them for a long time through actually Young Street Mission, and of course, Steve does insurance for our church and others as well, so it's good to be here. And Margie was with Young Street Mission. I was with Young Street Mission for 26 years, actually, and now I'm with Toronto City Mission. I was here for about 10 years. There's connections, of course. We have a ministry here on Thursdays where we work with kids and do some tutoring, and we've been doing that for a number of years. And Trevor, who's just left here, he was one of our board members at Toronto City Mission. So there's lots of stuff. But I don't know whether you know, a long time ago, there was a Chinese church that was meeting here in the afternoon. That's called the Scarborough Chinese Gospel Church. That was our first church plant from Chinatown downtown. And I was saved in that church downtown. And we sent a group up to start a church here. And after they left here, they bought a building, and they're called Millican Gospel Church. So I preached there sometimes, and so that's one of our sister churches as well. So lots of things have been connecting us together, so it's what a privilege it is to be here just to share the Word of God with you. So thank you for being part of my life, and it's great to be part of your life as well. I don't know all of you, but definitely some of you. Know some friends over here from Chinese Gospel Church. Good to see you. As we begin, let's pray. Okay, Father, we thank you that you are a wonderful God, that you care about us. You have brought us into your family, into your kingdom. In a sense, you have caught us, Lord, not because we want to find you, but you love us so much that you sought after us. And somehow we just responded to you because your Holy Spirit has touched our hearts. And Lord, we are now in your family. And Lord, somehow you have called each one of us to be involved with sharing your good news by doing good deeds to other people and building good relationships with you and others, so that people, those who don't know you, will come into your family and will help us do the same thing together. We thank you that you love a big family. Lord, you want many, many people to come to know you. And Lord, we pray that you will forgive us for neglecting that calling. So Lord, we just pray that today you would enthuse our hearts. Lord, give us that challenge and desire to bring others to yourself as well. So we thank you for the privilege and also for the power that you've given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you mentioned about fishing. I don't know, who went fishing this summer? Raise your hand if you've gone fishing this summer. Ah, some of you, eh? Who went fishing once upon a time? Who've never fished before? You mean every single one of you have done fishing? Wow, that's pretty good. Now, unfortunately, in our days, you know, we do fishing with a rod. So it's, I guess this is called sports type of fishing, right? I never call it a sport. I think it's drudgery. I used to fish a lot, but, you know, since I don't catch a lot of fish, and I don't like cleaning the fish, I don't like to do a wading and all that stuff, I stopped fishing a long time ago. And and some of you might be the same way. You know, you get discouraged, and it's too much work. It costs a lot of money to go out into the lake, rent a boat or a canoe or whatever you have to do. It costs too much. So probably a lot of you stop fishing. And probably that's the case for us as witnesses. Over time, we either get discouraged, it's too much work, too difficult, and we also stop witnessing as well. Because we spend a lot of time amongst our friends, we like the comforts of home, and therefore, gradually, we don't even know where the fish are. Or we see fish out there who they don't know Jesus, we just don't have the energy or time. So many can just get discouraged and not do any witnessing or any fishing at all. But in the days of Jesus, when he called his first disciples, If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. I'm just going to read three portions of scripture so that we'll see about the whole fishing and witnessing. They're tied together. Matthew chapter 4, 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So he called his first disciples. So at the very beginning, he called them to be fishers of men. Now, Jesus can relate, right? It's pretty good. These guys are, their livelihood was fishing. But you notice, their livelihood wouldn't be very successful if they use a rod and a hook, right? They use nets. So therefore, it's netting fish. It's not sports fishing. It's a livelihood. That's what they do for a living. That's how they survive. That's how they get their food on the table. They catch the fish, they sell the fish, and they receive some money for their livelihood. So it's not like a fun thing to do. It's work. But Jesus switched things around. You no longer catch fish anymore. You will be catching men. That's why we have the song, Fishers of Men. But remember, it's a net that they use, not a rod. So the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said, you shall be fishers of men. Now, Jesus showed them how to catch fish. He went about preaching, healing people, doing good works. He built relationships amongst those who are sinners, right? And he brought them into his kingdom. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. He did a lot of healing. Every day you can see people coming to him. And then he spent time with God. You know, he would, early in the morning, he would spend time fellowshipping with God. And then in the daytime, and the rest of the time, he would spend a lot of time with his disciples and with others. That's his lifestyle. This is the way he's shown his disciples how to catch fish. But you know, in the lifetime of Jesus, how many people did he lead to himself? There was a bunch of people that followed him, right? There was 500, and then somehow they all left him. So how many actually stayed with Jesus? That's a trick question, eh? There were 12 in the beginning, and he lost one. How many? 11. 3 years of ministry, preaching, doing all kinds of stuff. How many people stay with him? 11. That was it. Wow. The Son of God, the greatest preacher, only had 11. And you know, at the end of Jesus' life, I think they all left him too. Right? They all abandoned him. But when he died and he rose again, his 12 came to him at the resurrection, at the ascension. Still, some of his disciples doubted him. Do you know that? And then, of course, he gave them the great commission. to go as you go every day, as you go about your work, at the end of Matthew, preach the gospel. Tell people about him, teaching them to observe everything that I have taught you. But then, in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8, so you see at the very beginning, he asked them to be fishers of men. At the very end, before he ascends into heaven, Jesus said to them, Acts 1:8, tells them not to leave Jerusalem yet, but stay where you are. And Jesus made a promise, but you will receive power, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is challenging his disciples to be fishers of men at the beginning of his ministry, and as he leaves the world, he says, you will be witnesses for me. So witnessing, sharing of the faith, begins in Jesus' ministry and ends in Jesus' ministry. So he left us responsible to be God's witnesses, the witness for Jesus Christ, fishers of men. I guess witnessing is very important, isn't it? From beginning, during, and the end. So that's why I thought I would use this as a challenge, because it's the most crucial thing. But it's so easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to be somewhat complacent and discouraged or scared, whatever it may be. But we are not taking the opportunities to do this. Let's look at the very church, the very beginning of the church. Let's turn to the example as seen in church, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Let's see how the early church was an incredible witness, incredible fishers of men. Let's look at what they did, who they are. Chapter 2 of Acts, verses 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So you see the beginning of Jesus' ministry, after Jesus' ministry, and then the church's ministry. Our role, our job, our life is to kind of continue in the mode of fishing or witnessing or sharing and showing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at the church and what Jesus did, part of the net I would want to show you. The net, let's make it a square net, or it's easier, the net. Alright, the fishermen, they use nets. And right at the very beginning, they were mending their nets, they were preparing their nets, they were casting out their nets. Fishermen, that's what they do. And in one of the times that that Jesus told Peter to cast your net out to the other side instead of one side. So, very important that we need to be guided by the Lord. See, sometimes we use methods as a way of catching fish. Sometimes it isn't a method. It's really more of who you are. The net. Let's use one side of the net, one corner of the net. Let's say it's the good news. Jesus went about preaching the good news. The good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is not just simply salvation. Salvation is the entry point. Jesus says, you know, if you believe by faith, you will be saved. So the good news is you don't earn your salvation. Because every Jewish person tries to earn their salvation. They go through all the rituals of going to the synagogue, doing all the sacrifices, etc., etc. And the reality is no one can earn your salvation. So here's the good news. You don't have to earn it because you cannot earn your salvation. And Jesus says, repent and come. So the key thing is we turn around and come to Jesus. Because Jesus really is our source of salvation, not our works. And that is the good news. But salvation is but the entry point. Jesus says, you enter into the kingdom. The kingdom is the life of a Christian. Life with God. Not just salvation. And I think sometimes we might get trapped by sharing the good news as if it's your ticket to heaven. It is your journey into heaven. But when we come to Christ, we experience the joys of living the Christian life. There has to be more than just salvation alone. It's salvation into the life with God. So that's the good news. Because some people, they just become a Christian and there's no change. Nothing happens to their life. It's not a good witness. God's witness is that you are saved for more than just your wait. From now on, I'm saved now. I'm waiting to die so I can go to heaven. In between this time, we're called to be living with God, enjoying the life with God, bringing others into His family. So this is one corner of the net. We need to remember that. The next corner of the net, Jesus went about doing good works too. He spent a lot of time healing people, caring for people, touching people, relating with people. So Jesus not only preached, He did a lot of good things. And He shared His purpose was to really preach the good news to the poor, those who are needy, those who do not know Him. He hung out with sinners. See, Jesus says, I come for sinners, those who are sick, those who need Him. And the rejected people in society, Jesus came for them particularly. So it's important for us to think about those who do not know Jesus and do something of a good work nature. In Ephesians 2:10, we know that, if you can turn to it, Ephesians 2:10, we're not only saved to belong to part of God's family through faith and grace, but we are, verse 10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, just prior to that, we are saved by faith through grace, the grace of God, through faith. But then, in verse 10, just at the end, we are saved to do good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved four good works. And this good work, the works that we are to do, is what Jesus would do. Helping a person, praying for someone who is in need, being a friend to someone. I believe Christians, those who are genuinely saved, are usually the first to do good works. Many Christians choose to do good works because Christ is in us. Most of the good work that's around in the world, you think of hospitals, some of the colleges, some of the missions, most of these have started by Christians in the past. Because God has put in our hearts a desire to do good works. But sometimes we forget. There are many opportunities for us to do good works. And we may just bypass because it's a little bit difficult, it's a bit inconvenient, it's not the right timing, we're either too busy, etc., etc. There are many reasons why we don't do it. But for us to have a good net, we need to share good news. We need to do good works. Very important parts of the net. Now, there's another part of the net that we have to think about, the other four corners. It's good relationships. If you look at what Jesus did, if you look at what the church did, they did a lot of hanging out together, right? They were breaking bread. You know, sure, we come to church for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and we think it's too much. But, you know, in the early church, they spent a lot of time together. Not only in the temple courts, but they spent a lot of time in their homes, breaking bread, fellowshipping together. And they included other people, the poor. Do you notice in verse 45, it says, there was no need amongst them. So inside the church, they care for each other. Some people sold their, you know, they gave a lot of money, sold their land, gave it to the apostles, and the money was used to meet the needs of the people inside the church or whoever came into their presence. I don't think it's just the membership. There's no membership there in the first church, right? There was no structure. People were just together, and that's the true church, not the institutional church we have here. Church was Christians coming together, fellowshipping, and they were witnessing by their life together. So the relationship, good relationships, is so crucial to our witnessing, to our catching of fish. Very, very key. Good news, good works, good relationships with God, with Christians, with non-Christians alike. And the other good thing is you have to have good relationship with the Spirit of God. If you do not have that good ear to hear what the Spirit of God tells you, then you only have three good corners and you will lose a lot of fish. See, if you don't have a good relationship with God and a good ear to hear what the Spirit tells you, we spend a few minutes trying to listen to what God says to us. God speaks to us through His Spirit. And sometimes God may prompt you to say, I want you to go and talk to so-and-so. And then you might say, well, is this really God? Oh, I can do it later, God. How about next week? I'll do it. No. I had an opportunity one day. God just kind of prompted me, said, call this senior lady. So I said, is this you, God? Well, I trust in that quiet, still voice in my heart. So I did. I called this lady up, and she's in the 80s. And the first response that she said to me was, oh, Steve, thank you for calling me. I've been feeling really down and depressed. She's in her 80s. And I don't call her too frequently, but this time she asked me to call. So I called and just listen, witness, and share. Part of the good news, she's a Christian, but still really learning more about God. And so it's a witness that God has called me to be a witness to Christians alike. There was another time, I'm just giving you some examples of, there are many opportunities that God would just tell you, give you a little bit of prompting. And so the prompting was, why don't you go, and I was, you know, we're at the Toronto City Mission camp, and there's grade 8 girl who was just on her own, and God just say, why don't you go and just talk to her, you know? I know her because we have ministry with her, we have taught her, and I just went to say, how are things going? And she said, well, I've been thinking about the Bible a lot, you know, I'm not quite sure how I can become a Christian. So, whoa, what an opportunity right there, right? Now, so I went and sat beside her, talked to her, and shared the good news again, many times. I've shared the good news many times with her. Other people have shared the good news many times with her. But this time, somehow, the Lord prompted me to go and just be there. And so she opened up. So God has done something with her heart. And God says, go and share. So I did more listening and then just sharing at the right time. And she gave her heart to the Lord at that time. Now, it's not me doing it. I just simply share the word. She heard the word many times. But this time, God has prepared her to hear God's word. She's been tutored. She's been... Gospel has been shared, she sang, she did all kinds of things with Toronto City Mission. But she was ready at that time. And I shared the gospel with her. Just a few months ago, I've just met her. You know, she's in grade 12. She's doing pretty well. And she says, you know, Steve, I still remember the time that I heard the gospel clearly. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling to follow Jesus. I'm struggling in going to church. I'm struggling. I said, struggle is good. It just means that you're alive. If you're dead, there's no struggle. You just go ahead, do your thing. You don't care about God. Struggling is a sign that you are alive, that you want to follow Jesus. And witnessing is continuous. It's not just sometime that when they become a Christian, you stop witnessing. Do you know what I mean? See, evangelism, sharing of God's love, is a continuous thing that you do to the day you die. Sometimes we think, now that he's a Christian, I don't need to witness to them anymore. Witnessing is really sharing what you were like in the past. Okay, here's one thing. What you were like in the past, what you think, what you did in the past, and the difference it made to you now that you have become a Christian. What's the difference that God make in your life now that you are a Christian? And what is life like now that you are living the Christian life? It's always a process. Witnessing isn't just simply talking about your salvation, the day that you became a Christian. That's important. But what about now? What did God do for you? What's God doing for you now? So witnessing is just simply letting people know what God's doing in your life. What you see, what you hear. Some of you, I don't know how many gone to court. Have you been to court lately? I went to court as a witness. Because I saw a car coming along and struck a girl, a young lady, right beside my car. I was parked here. I was waiting for the light to turn. And a car turning left. It was dark and dingy. I guess that car just didn't see the girl crossing the street. It was coming by. I said, oh no, this person is not seeing this. Boom. Hit her. Fortunately, it wasn't hard. She got up. She was fine. So I saw this. I saw this whole thing happen. So I was summoned to court because I was a witness. Now the court wouldn't summon somebody else who read about it. It wouldn't summon a person whom I told about. So I told this other person what I saw, what I heard. No, the courts would not summon the other person. They would summon the eyewitness, right? So therefore, you being a witness for Jesus, you have to have some kind of eyewitness, heart witness, experiential witness with God. So you tell, that's what a witness is all about. Part of the fishers of men, you have to be that person who says, I saw Jesus doing this for me. Before, I did not believe in Jesus, so therefore I just did my own thing. But now that I know Jesus, Jesus helped me to do this following thing. So you tell what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced. That is the most powerful form of witness. People cannot argue with you because you yourself have experienced what God has said and done for you. Therefore, being a witness is about telling people what you saw, what you heard, and what you experience with God. That is the most powerful, I call, bait. That's the most important part of the net. So yes, telling them about salvation is important. So tell them about the salvation that you received. Tell them about what Jesus is doing in your life now. That is the good news. The good works, help somebody. Do something. You will find that will open people's hearts to Jesus Christ. That's why good works and good news is so vital. And then, your good relationship. There's nothing worse than going to a stranger and share the gospel. It's very difficult. Some people have that gift of evangelism, and then all of a sudden, they receive Jesus. But let me tell you a secret. The person that received Jesus often have many witnesses prior to that time. See, we like harvesting, eh? We like to catch the big catch. The reality is someone has shared the gospel with that person many, many times before they become a Christian. And then the final corner of the net is that you have to listen when the Holy Spirit tells you what to do. Obey. Listen. So it's not so much a method, but more or less a way of life. Now, I think Jesus have used our church as a net, network. We relate to different people. Every one of us relate to different people. And many of them are probably not Christians. So you have to listen to what God may be telling you to do. So a witness just shares a little bit of what God is doing in your life and what God can do in their life. And it takes many, 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 many witnesses to bring one person to Christ. Remember that. See, I think if we have a focus on harvesting or gathering all the people, we get discouraged really quick. Jesus would have been discouraged very quick, right? He only had 11, 3 years. But look at the harvest when the Holy Spirit came. The first sermon that Peter gave, How many people? 3,000. See, harvesting is not up to us either. It is God. Conversion is up to God. Our part is to be faithful in being a witness, listening to what God tells us. So I encourage you not to be discouraged. I encourage you to keep on being a witness. Simply share what God's doing in your life, doing a good deed, building good relationships, and then asking God, say, what do you want me to do now, God, with this person? Because you would have many opportunities. You have many opportunities to interact with those who are not Christians, right? Many. You don't have to get them converted. Don't push yourself to try to convert. Just be a witness in any one of those quadrants so that eventually Jesus will pull the net in. The harvest, you're involved in a harvest, but you are not the harvester. God is. God is the converter, not you. So don't let the devil discourage you. Keep on being the fisherman. Keep on being the witness in every opportunity that he gives you. So I just like to challenge each one of you. First of all, not to look at the people that is not responding to you. They're not the enemy. Those who live a crazy life, wild life, they're not the enemy. They're trapped by the demons. Satan has blinded people. We know that, right? Satan has blinded the people. They are dead in trespasses and sin. So don't blame them for not believing. We're fighting against the evil one who has blinded this whole world. So therefore, keep on seeing the fact that God is going to open their eyes. Stop blaming them for their life of sin. Blame the devil, because he's the one that's causing all these things to happen. Therefore, friends, I will leave you with this net, okay? The four corners of the net. Good news, good works, good relationships, and good guidance from the Holy Spirit. And then let Jesus eventually pull in the harvest. Don't look at your size as small. Jesus only had 11. All right, you have more than 11 here. So please continue in being the fisherman that you were called to be. Don't get discouraged because you're not catching a lot of fish. We're not told that we can catch fish. It's God that catches them. But we are to continue to fish, continue to witness, continue to share the love of God. So as I encourage you doing this, let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you lived a life faithful to God, sharing the good news, constantly doing good works, maintaining great relationships with your disciples, with God, with those who do not believe, and that you are always sensitive to God's leading. You are saying, not my will, but your will be done. Thank you, Jesus, for this great example of being a fisherman, being a great witness for your kingdom. Thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to do the work. Lord, you said that you will make us fishers of men, that you will give us your Holy Spirit, and you said that we will be witnesses. We thank you that these are all promises that you have made to us. You're not commanding us to be a witness. You said that we will be witnesses. So we thank you that these are all promises that you have made. So therefore, we rely on your promises, that We just simply respond to you by saying yes to the opportunities that you bring to our path. So help us to be faithful yes people to you, to your Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, you will be. You will be. And that's His job, not yours. So therefore, we just simply say, yes, God, I'll do what you asked me to do. And let God do the rest. It's God's job, not mine. So be encouraged. Thank you.